Good morning and welcome, especially if this is your first visit. We have three services today. Do look on the information sheet. Firstly, I'd like to say thank you to everyone who for their kindness and their prayers for me, and it's lovely to be back here. On a sadder note, I want to tell you that John Tadman died this week. Jacob Barley has contacted me, and he had his operation on his thigh on Thursday, and the op was a bit more complicated than it might have been, so he can't drive for a while, and he kind of says sorry he can't be here. Messy Church continues to go well, and there were 27 guests, and Sally would like it if more people could participate in helping in the service, not necessarily all of it, but perhaps towards the end when there's quite a bit of clearing up to do. I have a message from Jean Thompson. The contact centre are having their AGM in the Mayo Hall this afternoon at 4:30. It's a public meeting and all are welcome, and there are more details about it on the service paper. I also want to remind you that next week is our church meeting, and look forward to seeing you there. And finally, Liz Bartlett would like to say something.
Well, I expect you're all wondering how much money we made at the concert last week. And I'm pleased to say that the grand total was £933.50. How about that? Isn't that wonderful? I think whilst we're on a roll with music, it's the time to tell you about one or two things that are in the pipeline. There's going to be another lunchtime recital coming up in April. Another young musician wants to perform. So Thursday, April 16th, put that in your diaries, please, and we'll tell you more nearer the time. And the other exciting thing is that we've got the go-ahead to start a choir. A few of us have been longing to do this, and we've come up with the idea of having a choir once a month at the 11 o'clock service on the second Sunday, which could work quite well because it means we could have a choir practice from 9:30 till 10:30. Then you could have your cup of coffee, and then we'll be singing in the 11 o'clock service. So we hope to start that on the 8th of March. So if you're interested, just let me know. Thank you.
Let us listen to these words. Based on the words of the psalmist, let us give thanks to God with our whole hearts. Let us delight in the works of the Lord. Let us trust in God who has provided for us. Let us, in awe and wonder, bring our worship to the Lord today. We join to sing, "Morning has broken." Let us pray. Loving God, we gather as those who know our need of your strength, as those who know our need of your mercy, as those who know our need of your love. We gather as those who long to know your presence deep within us, God of peace, compassion, and majesty, we come before you now. We offer the best of all we are. We confess that often in our lives we are happy with that which is second best. We confess that often in our lives we work in our own strength. And we know what it is to be loveless in our relationships. We ask that you would forgive us. That you would help us, that we would never exclude where we could embrace or hurt where we could help, and that you would enable us to follow in the steps of Jesus Christ, who is our Saviour, our Lord, but is the Saviour and Lord of all. Amen. We say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And do not fall into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Today, as you may or may not know, is World Leprosy Day. And the major problem with those who live with leprosy is not only the disease, but the social isolation that goes along with it. And you could argue that the major problem in our society is the same. So, do we know people who haven't got any friends? Do we know people that are lonely? And as a community, how we reach out to people who are in that position is the most healing thing that we can do. The thing that is closest to following Jesus. And that having been said, there is not one among us that cannot do it. With a bow, with a smile, with a handshake, with a gift to somebody of your time and your ears, not your mouth, but your ears. So what we're going to do now is we're going to pray for people who live with leprosy. But before we get that, we're going to do the very thing that people with leprosy lack. And we're going to do it with these. We're going to do it with our hands. We're going to shake one another's hand. And let's. I know what you lot are like. You're all sitting there thinking, oh no, really, do I have to? And then the minute I say, right, let's go, 20 minutes later, I'm calling you back in. I know what you're like. You take a long time to get going, but once you get going, you can't stop. Let's just try and shake the hand of three people. And those people have got to be people that you don't know very well. They're not allowed to be the people that you walked in with. So you're going to have to get up and you're going to have to move. Go, 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 go. I'm sorry, shake my hand. Yeah, come. Enough already, enough cheeriness. Some of us are Scottish, you can't cope with it. I rest my case, Your Honour. Right, enough hugging and kissing. You didn't do it. Helen's just telling me that once upon a time she used to live next door to a leper colony, and shaking people by the hand was part of how it was, and she tells me that they used to sing their hymns really well. Let us pray. Loving God, we pray for people who live with leprosy. We thank you that the cure for leprosy is getting close, and what's needed is people to make financial provision so that this can happen, and we ask for your blessing on this work. And we pray for those in our community who are living with social isolation, those who feel that they are lonely. Encourage us, Lord Jesus, to get beyond our natural instinct to hold back and to be part of the building up of others. And may the work that we do in the middle of Kingston be part of the reaching out and healing ministry that you started, Lord Jesus. And we pray in your name. Amen. Right, we're going to sing, and the good news is, because it's so cold in here, we're going to sing an action song. Well, we're going to sing it anyway. Up you get. Jesus' love is very wonderful, loads of actions, and it's unaccompanied. Let's do it. And today, come on, try and build up a bit of sweat. This is your chance. This is your cardiovascular opportunity. You're really going to have to go for it. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, you can't get over it. So low, you can't get under it. So wide, you can't get round of it. Oh, wonderful love. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, you can't get over it. So low, you can't get under it. So wide, you can't get round of it. Oh, wonderful love. Some of the scholars reckon that after the very quick introduction at the beginning of the Gospel according to Mark, then what the writer of the Gospel according to Mark does is produce for us a sample day in the life of Jesus. And this is part of that. And Alan Johnson will read this passage to us.
Jesus and his disciples came to the town of Capernaum. And on the next Sabbath, Jesus went to the synagogue and began to teach. The people who heard him were amazed at the way he taught. For he wasn't like the teachers of the law. Instead, he taught with authority. Just then, a man with an evil spirit in him came into the synagogue and screamed, "What do you want with us, Jesus? Are you here to destroy us? I know who you are. You're God's holy messenger." Jesus ordered the spirit, "Be quiet," and come out of him. The evil spirit shook the man's hand, gave a loud scream, and came out of him. The people were so all amazed that they started saying to one another, "What is this? Is it some kind of new teaching? This man has authority to give orders to the evil spirits, and they obey him." And so the news about Jesus spread quickly everywhere in the province of Galilee. Amen.
According to the prophet Isaiah, this notion of proclaiming good news and being handed over is part of the calling of the servant of God. So, at the beginning of Mark's Gospel, we get Jesus who announces that the time has come for the fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy. And Jesus preaches the good news of God and that God's rule is close by. And Jesus calls for a change of heart and personal commitment. And Mark tells us that Jesus proclaims good news. Good news, good news, good news. He speaks it, and also he is it. He is good news. Now, of course, being good news is true of Jesus in a special way, a particular way. He is, after all, Jesus. But I wonder whether, to a lesser extent, the call to be good news is the call on each one of us. The call to be good news. So when people think of you, does their heart soar or does their heart sink? If they see you coming down a corridor, do they think to themselves, "Oh, blimey, Charlie, what am I into now?" I know none of you think blimey, Charlie. "Oh, you know, what on earth is coming this my way? I know I'm going to get a right ear bashing." Or do they think, "Bliss, great, good stories to tell. Somebody's interested in me, this will be great." What do they think? So it's not about money. It's not about education, it's not about social standing, it's about attitude, it's about behavior. And therefore, my friends, there is nobody in this room who can say, "She's talking to the others, she's not talking to me." This is a call on every single one of us. And I have a brilliant illustration of this point. I was once about to do two visits back to back. The first visit I did was to that one of those sorts of middle-aged couples that churches are fighting over. Middle-aged couple, professional people, three children, you know, tick, 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 tick. Went round to their house, walked in, knew it was coming, sat down, and the minute I sat down, they started. The music was rubbish, the church was rubbish, the work that we were doing with people with learning difficulties was rubbish, just on and on and on. And they didn't offer me a cup of tea. I prayed, I got out of there as quickly as I could. I was grateful I got my coat back, and out I went. The next visit I did, so I went straight from that house to the next house. The next house I went to was to visit a man with learning difficulties. He had Down syndrome. I went in, asked him how he was. He told me, offered me a cup of tea, made me a cup of tea, offered me the biscuits, which he told me, he, you know, came out in conversation, he got specially for me. There's a packet, he opened the packet, I knew. Offered me biscuits. I don't need biscuits, but you get the point. And then we talked about how his day was and how your life was, and then he turned and he said, and how are you? How's your family? How's it going on? How's it going? And then I asked him about his day, and so we went backwards and forwards. And I prayed, and I left. Who was good news? Not to say that having a word of challenge and criticism isn't appropriate, but if you want somebody to hear you, if you want to communicate. And it's interesting, when I was writing my sermon and putting it together, I realized that I although I can remember the name of the man with Down syndrome, I cannot remember the name of the couple. I can't remember their name. I know one of the words that's in one of the, you know, but I can't remember their name. Are we good news? In the way that we live life, in the affirmation that we give, in the way that we count to people. So all of this happens is why we have introduction to this sample day, according to some of the scholars, in the life of Jesus. And he is good news, he speaks good news, he preaches good news. So he does stuff that's good news. The healing is good news. And then it comes out this strange thing about the fact he does not want people, he doesn't want those that he heals shouting out and telling people who he is. So there is a thought by some of the scholars that there is in the Gospel according to Mark this thing called the messianic secret, that Jesus wants it kept as a secret that he is the Messiah until the cross and the declaration of the whole thing for everybody. The first hearers of the Gospel according to Mark would have been people who were already being persecuted for their faith. They were people who already had to work out when they had to speak and when it was okay to be silent. When to speak of Jesus and when to keep it to yourself. Which means, which I would say, is a very useful place to start for us in our society, in our time. Do you speak of Jesus just to think, oh, blimey, I've just got, you know, I know I'm supposed to do it. Or do you listen? It's called two-way listening. So you're listening to the person that's talking to you, and you're listening to the Spirit. Listening. And when you feel the Spirit going, do it, you open your mouth and you speak of Jesus. But you do not automatically speak of him. You wait until the Spirit directs you. The sharing of the good news is our call. It is our prerequisite. We have no choice. It's not an optional, you could do this. It's our calling. It's our job to speak of Jesus. But we need to be listening to the people that we're talking to and listening to the Spirit to know the time and the place. Wife. Dear, the plumber didn't come to fix the leak behind the water heater today. Husband. Wife. The pipe burst today and flooded the basement. Husband. Quiet. It's the third. We're in the second half. We're gold down. Wife. Some of the wiring got wet and almost electrocuted Fluffy. Husband. Damn. Got another goal. Wife. The vet says he'll be better in a week. Husband, can you get me a Coke? Wife, the plumber told me he was happy with that our pipe broke because now he can afford to go on a vacation. Husband, aren't you listening? I said I could do with a Coke. Wife, and Stanley, I'm leaving you. The plumber and I are flying to Acapulco in the morning. Husband, can you stop all that yakking and get me a Coke? The trouble around here is that nobody ever listens to me. The call to listen does not mean that we are always to be silent. This is not me letting us off the hook. It is an increase in our challenge. We need to be sensitive to the Spirit, listening, and then knowing when is our time to speak out the truth that we have found. Because Jesus did speak out his truth. He lived his truth. He was his truth. And it is his calling and it is our calling too, to live it, to speak it, not as the fancy takes us, but as the Spirit leads us. Let us be still, and then we will pray. We pray, loving God, for those who live without the basics of life. For those who have no clean water, no proper bedding, no fresh food. We pray for those who are lonely and feel isolated. For those who are now on their own, where once they were part of two. For those who are now childless where once they were parents. We pray for those who do not have the basics of a safe home. For those whose home is soiled by violence and abuse. And we pray today for those who are calling out from the depths of need and despair and who feel that nobody is listening. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So let us continue our worship by making our offering. Let us pray. Lord, we offer this money, this bread, this wine, the things that can be seen. We offer them to represent the things that cannot be seen. Love, commitment, loyalty, sacrifice. Resurrection. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. We join together to sing, "Let all mortal flesh keep silence," 454.
as if there were only one time. And this was the only place. And we were the only people Jesus Christ will meet us. As if there were only time, and this is the only place, and we, the only people, let us receive here. This is the table, not of the church, but it is the table of the Lord. It is made ready for those who love him, and for those who want to love him more. So come if you have much faith, and come if you have little. Come if you have been here often. Come if it hasn't been for a long time. Come if you have tried to follow, and come if you know what it is to fail. Come, because it is the Lord who invites us. So let us hear the story. On the night in which Jesus was betrayed, he sat at supper with his disciples. While they were eating, he took a piece of bread, said a blessing, broke it, and gave it to them with the words, "This is my body, it is broken for you. Do this to remember me." Later, he took a cup of wine, saying, "This cup is God's new covenant, sealed with my blood. Drink from it, all of you, to remember me." So we take bread of the earth. We take the ordinary things of this world. And as he said a prayer before sharing, so do we. Let us pray. Gracious God, mystery beyond all conceiving, radiance beyond all seeing, yet here and now, as one who is with us and for us. And present for us through bread, through wine, and through one another. Present in bread that is broken, and with those people who feel broken. We thank you that you are there in bread, in its frailty, and we thank you that you call us to be sensitive and to be gentle with those who feel fragile. We thank you that this table reminds us and calls us back to the cross, to the giving of Jesus. And calls us and reminds us of your power and ability to transform and to change bread, wine, and even us. Thank you. Amen. Bread. Broken. Shared, the body of Christ.
He took the cup, wine, poured out, blessed, and given to them. Blood of Christ. So let us pray. Minute by minute, hour by hour, day by day, you are our God. Not in some minutes or special hours. And minute by minute, hour by hour, we will be your people. Thank you. Amen.
Last hymn is King of Glory, King of Peace. I think we'd all agree on a desert island. This would be one of your hymns, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it? Do you think so? Who thinks so? Nod? No? A few shakes? Right, okay. Right, come on then. If you like it, let's hear it. 97, if you... Jesus, take us, renew us, and remake us. What we have been is past. What we shall be through you still awaits us. And help us to eat the elephant of our problems, one bite at a time. Amen.